It's the second Sunday school of the year, and we're going to look at something that's important. Okay, this is our Sunday Bible hour. We just go through the Bible exactly what God has for us. All right, so let's have a word of prayer, all right, before we start the lesson today. Okay, let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for life, thankful for a new year, thankful for our families, friends. So thankful, Lord, for all the blessings you've given us this week, laughter and Lord, sometimes even challenges, Lord, that come along our way that require you to give us wisdom. And as we ask, Lord, you answer our prayer in a mighty way. And we see your blessings in good health. We see your blessings in helping us overcome, Lord, some of the things in this life. We thank you also that as a great and wonderful God, your loving hand is also on those who may not, Lord, at this time in their hearts receive you, but yet, Lord, you still send them the rain. You provide for their needs. We know, Lord, as a merciful God, you constantly watch over your creation, but especially those, Lord, who have put their faith and trust in you. Lord, right now, as we learn a very important principle of the Bible for every believer, the fear of God, I pray that you help us to have an increased sense of who you are. And Lord, we pray that you will teach us what it means to have the fear of God in our lives that will affect every area of our lives. We thank you for friends who have joined us and visited with us. We thank you for members who have been faithful. We pray you continue to teach us your word that we might grow. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Bless this time. I pray, Lord, it will be a good time of interaction, of learning. Praying, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will be the instructor in our hearts. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Today we'll be talking about living in the fear of God. Okay. We're going to be hopefully looking at a series, looking in the book of Proverbs, all right? Some of the key points over the next few weeks, just some of the Bible principles, okay? The book of Proverbs can be called the Human Resource Manual for Life. You know, Human Resource Manual? In Human Resource, you need to understand behavior, you need to know how to live, how to deal with people who are angry, how to work with people who are lazy, how to work with people who have financial problems, how to work with people who have immoral problems, etc. How even to, even in the book of Proverbs, we talk about in Proverbs 31, how to be a virtuous lady, okay, in this world, okay, and also how to treat your parents, what kind of son is a wise son, what kind of son is a foolish son, etc. It's all in the Human Resource Manual of Proverbs. So this week, we'll talk about very important principles to start with, living in the fear of God. Okay, let's all read Proverbs 1:7. I believe it's in your notes. Okay, if you have the notes, please take your notes. All right, it's right at the top. Let's just read, all right, ready? Proverbs 1, verse 7, ready? 1, 2, go. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. We need to understand, in order to understand things in this life, we need to have a fear of one thing. Okay, after this, we describe what does it mean to fear God. We need to know who is the author and resource, the source of all information. Okay? How many of you can remember a teacher in school that you highly respected and that every time you have a question, you go to the person? Right? We all have lecturers or teachers. You know they are very knowledgeable in that. And any questions you have, you'll run to this person. Because you know that you can trust him to instruct you. Does it make sense? Okay? If you have a maths problem or this, there's a mathematics guru in the maths department, and any time, any question, you go to the teacher, how to do, and you know that he will give you the proper systematic explanation, and at the end, he will make sure that you understand. You know, in the Christian life, it's the same. We need to know who is the source of our information. We need to know the source of our wisdom, and that's God. But before we can even want to ask him, we need to have a respect for who he is. Because if you don't respect the person, you won't want to go to him. Would you agree with that? If you don't respect God, many times, basically, maybe we respect other sources of information more than God. But God is saying that the fear of God, which is actually a reverential respect for God, is the beginning of all wisdom, okay? So especially in life, God gave us the manual for life in the Bible. And in order to live life wisely, live life abundantly, fully, we need to go to the author of life, okay? So what we're going to do is, once again, we're going to divide you into 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think it'll be 5 groups, okay? you just kind of collapse you all into five groups. Okay? Collapse. Okay, maybe Brother Henry up to Brother Desmond. It's fine. You all will take Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29, fill in the first blank. Okay? Then Timothy, Jara, and the three ladies there, you take Proverbs 23, wrong, Deuteronomy 6, 24. Okay, fill in the blank there. Okay? Then it's Allison, and up to Lydia. Okay? You will take Proverbs 23, 17. Then in Genesis 22, verse 12, Sister Agnes all the way to Brother Gideon. Okay? And then in Acts chapter 9, verse 31, from Sister Shaoling all the way to the back. Okay, it's another group. Okay, discuss that. No. All the way to the end. You take Acts 9, 31. Okay? Just fill in the blanks. Try to, don't guess, study the verse a bit, read and discuss. I'll give you 2 minutes, okay? And then after that, we fill in the blanks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay? What does God want us to do? This introduction, looking from the Bible, okay? What does the Bible say about what God wants us to do with Him, okay? Just answer those questions there. In Deuteronomy 5:29, what does God long for us to do? In Deuteronomy 6:24, what outcome does God want us to have in our life? Proverbs 23:17, how often can we fear the Lord? Okay? And Genesis 22:12, what is the proof of fearing God? Acts 19, who should fear the Lord? Okay? So kind of just answer those questions, okay? Ken? What does God want us to do? Deuteronomy 5:29. To fear Him. If you read the verse, can you all read the verse together as a group? Ready? 1, 2, go. Okay, if you read the heart of God, God said, oh, that they would have such a heart to fear me. That's the key point, all right? So that they will keep the commandments and all that is actually a side issue. But if their heart is there, it's an issue. Not so much a heart. But if your heart is there, you will fear Him. And you will love Him. You'll keep His commandment. All right? God longs for us to fear Him. All right? The next one, Proverbs, Deuteronomy 6:24. What outcome does God want us to have in our life? Jairo or Brother Tim? Brother Jairo? Or anyone? Sorry? To preserve us alive, okay? Alright, the verse reads, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive. Okay, preserve our life is the outcome, okay? But it's actually for our good. God wants us to fear Him always for our good. And there's reasons why. Later on, you'll go into the specific reasons, okay? So it's for our good, okay? Next one. Proverbs 33, verse 17. How often can we fear the Lord? Okay, we can fear God. The Bible says what? Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. Not just every day, all day. The whole day. We can actually stay in the fear of God the whole day. Alright, that's what Proverbs, that's what Solomon is telling us in Proverbs 27, 17. Okay? Genesis 22, verse 12. What is the proof of fearing God? Obedience, okay? The Bible says, Genesis 22, verse 22, 12. Do you know that was the context of the story, Genesis 22? When Abraham was asked to sacrifice his own son. That's a big sacrifice, okay? I know Brother Maloney and Sister Mary have only one son. Do you think if God says, okay, I want you to sacrifice Miguel? Or anyone, or Brother Francis, would you sacrifice Hannah on the altar? And by the way, if you understand the sacrifice, it's doing a few things. You know, tying your child up, putting him on the altar, and plunging the knife into his heart to kill him, to be a sacrifice to God. Okay? Of course, God did not actually allow him to go through with that. It was a test of his fear of God. Interesting, the Bible says in Genesis 22, verse 12, and He said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. Obedience is a proof of fearing God. You know what's the implication? When we know that God is asking us to do something and we don't do it, it actually shows we don't fear God. And God is not even asking us to sacrifice the very thing we love. Does that make sense? So obedience is a proof of our fear of God. Okay? Acts chapter 9, 31. Who should fear the Lord? The group. Who should fear the Lord? Christians. Okay? If you read the verse, who specifically did the Bible say that? Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost, they were multiplied. Who should fear the Lord? The Bible says the churches, church members, we should all be walking in the fear of God. All of us need to have the fear of God, because the Bible says that had all the churches, the word churches means assemblies, and all the assemblies that heard the word of God had rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified, walking in the fear of God. In other words, their life will fear the fear of God. All church members ought to fear God. It's not just for the pastor or the deacons or whoever. All church members, everyone, need to have a fear of God in their hearts. Okay? All right, Proverbs 13 and verse 13. No more group, let's all turn there. Proverbs 13, verse 13. Okay? What will happen to those who fear the Lord? Proverbs 13, verse 13. Let's turn there, okay? Proverbs 13 and verse 13. Okay? Let's all read together. Okay, Proverbs 13 and verse 13. Let's all read together. Ready? 1, 2, begin. Whoso despises the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Okay, Solomon puts one contrast. If you despise, the word despise means to step upon, count it as nothing. If let's say, this happens all the time, especially when I see in a shopping mall or whatever, and when dad say, hey, come here, then after that, the child just runs away. It was really funny. I was at the, I think, AAA, I cannot remember. I was at NTUC, this sunny, this loud shouting. Go lai, you know. And then I realized this lady, this mother, was screaming at this three-year-old boy. Go lai. And the boy was just running away. And isn't it, as the boy was running, he stopped and looked at mommy. Go lai ni. And then the boy just kind of not listening, you know. That's the meaning of despise. When mommy said to come, you don't come. That's despising. That means you just totally ignore. It's not important. And the Bible says, if you despise the word of God, you will be destroyed. That's very serious. Okay? Can I say to God, the word of God has a moral quality about it, that if you don't listen to it, we will actually be affected seriously in some way. That's why if you despise, example, if our government gives you a letter, that you have to, maybe, who else? Only Jared hasn't gone NS, or maybe Jeff or so. Okay, the letter comes. Okay, on Sunday, you are to report, and you despise, I don't care lah. Guess who will be knocking on your door very soon? Okay, they will probably give you a warning letter or whatever, they'll call you, how come you never turn up, right? But on serious situation, I know in Switzerland, if you don't listen, in Switzerland, it's mandatory, reservist, every year you have to go for 40 days. If you don't go immediately 40 days, is it 40 days? In prison. Immediately. Because national service is very important in Switzerland. Okay? And so, if we despise that, there will be an outcome. God says that if we despise the word, we shall be destroyed. But he that, what, feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Okay? Those who fear the Lord will be rewarded. Okay, it doesn't mean some people are really rewarded with prosperity. Some Christians are blessed, okay, financially and all that. But you know, one spiritual good of listening to God, you're blessed with a secure home, people who love you, you have peace, and all your life is smooth. Smooth in a sense, not that you don't have troubles that you have to deal with, but you know that as you fear God, God gives you the peace in your heart to handle those situations. Does it make sense? And that kind of peace, $1 million can't buy. All right, a lot of rich people have to think, okay, I've got a lot of money in my house, so how? Okay, I need a security guard, I need chub alarm. It's interesting, why you call it chub? C-U-B-B, like chub, like chubby. You know? I was saying chub alarm. Then you have security services and all that, etc. Now those people who have more have to actually think about how to secure it more. Does that make sense? But if you put your faith in God, not in those material things, you know that even those things you have will be preserved because God is going to take care of that as you fear Him and put Him first. All right? Let's turn to Psalm 12, verse 1. The secret of what actually is there. The secret of all blessings. The Bible says, praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandment. The word blessed means to be happy. Literally. You'll be blessed greatly when you fear God. In other words, you say, God, you are first in my life, and everything, I'm going to put you first. It's a reverential type of respect. Okay? Any questions? So this is what God's word say about the fear of God. We'll be rewarded. We will have obedience is the proof. We can fear God all the day. But what is it to fear God? Is it to be afraid of God? How many of you watched this? I think there was this YouTube video about this dog who was being abused all his life, and then he was rescued. When he went to the animal shelter, when the people from the animal shelter actually stroked the dog, and the dog was crying as if the guy wanted to hit the dog. I saw this firsthand myself as a therapist when I worked last time. I was working with one seven-year-old boy, cerebral palsy. You know cerebral palsy? Okay, people who walk like this, okay, cerebral palsy. And he came in, and he came in for behavioral problems. And first thing, go away, you tried to hit me. He was, of course, I was bigger than him. He was a small guy. And he was hitting and all that kind of thing. And after, when I began to hold him because I wanted to manage his behavior, he started, oh, don't hit me, don't hit me, don't hit me, that kind of thing. You know, it's like, okay, this child has been child abused, you know, for us, therapists immediately. Looking at that if a person can be so enslaved in fear, that when people show love, you think you want to fight you. Have you been in touch with very angry people? Even when you show love, they will misunderstand you. Why? Because their whole mindset is covered with the kind of fear. Okay? Satan wants to put the kind of fear on our life. But this fear of God is not the kind of fear. This fear of God is the type of fear that there is firstly a love for the object, the person, and then there's a deep respect for that person to the point that even when a person scolds you, you will say thank you. And you will strive your best to please that person because you have such this profound respect for this person. That's the kind of fear that God is talking about. Okay? And this reverential fear has the idea of a love and a close relationship with God that wants to lead us to please Him. Okay? We're going to talk about seven characteristics of the fear of God. But I want us to be very clear. God doesn't want to... Fear is from sin. Okay? Satan tempted sin. Remember Adam and Eve, when they sinned, what's the first thing they did? They hid from God. Why? They were afraid. In fact, they said that we were afraid when we heard your voice. Why? Sin brings fear. Okay? And that is not the type of relationship God wants with us. That's what sin does to us. You know why sometimes when certain things go wrong, the person doesn't want to face the other person? That's a very big clue. Our children, are you listening? When you don't want to face your parents or something, it's because you've done something wrong. Or you want to cover up something wrong. Okay? This is a very, very clear evidence of sin. When there's fear, you need to be careful. Of course, there may be anxiety over a situation. But what is the opposite of fear? What's the opposite of fear? Adele? No, sorry. I talked to Adele before. Eddie before, right? What's the opposite of fear is faith. Trust. You know why sometimes we don't come to God? Sometimes because of our sin and we are fearful to approach God. Okay? Let's read 1 John 4 verse 8, which is over there. What is the fear of God? Let's read together. That's a wonderful verse. Ready? 1, 2, go. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. When we are afraid to face someone, in our relationship. When we are afraid, we need to ask God to help us to overcome that fear. The only way you can overcome that fear is by God's love. Because perfect love will cast out that fear. In other words, no matter what that person will say or do to you that might hurt you, you will still say, because I love that person, I will still go ahead and do the right thing. Okay? Perfect love, God's love will overcome that fear. 2 Timothy 1:7 is, therefore God did not give us, had not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. These are characteristics of a Christian who put himself in God's love. Okay? There is no fear. Okay? That's why our relationships in the church can be very open and free and transparent. Okay? Did you know that even if I'm weak in certain area, but God's love fills a brethren's heart, I don't have to be afraid that the brethren will tell me, because I know that even the criticism is governed by love. And we know that, hey, brother so-and-so, you should do this. Yeah, thank you for telling me. Let's pray together. And we help one another to grow. It's never a judgment. It's always wanting to build up in love. Okay? Any questions? Remember, if you have fear in your life or anxiety in your life, you need to ask God to help you overcome that by His love. Okay? And remember, God, listen to this. If you are a genuine Christian, you need never ever fear God unless there's sin in your life. The only reason why Christians don't want to come to church or don't want to go do the Bible or they don't want to do anything for God is there's sin in their life. There's sin. Because sin leads to fear, and fear doesn't want to approach God because God is light. Okay? The closer you are to the light, the brighter it is your sin. And so people sometimes say, I don't want to come close to the light. I want to stay away, all right? I want to stay in the darkness so that no one can see that I'm wrong. Okay, any questions? Okay, so the fear of God is a fear of a loving child or a dutiful servant. Okay, the fear of the Lord is the fear of a loving child. Have you seen children? Papa, papa, I want to eat. You know? Then the child, papa, can I have some food? Sorry, can I have... The child won't come to the dad like this, you know? But it's a loving child. Say, papa, can I have some food? The child is dependent, but the child is also knowing that dad is bigger than him and is dependent, and it's that loving relationship. It's a loving child. The fear of God is a loving child or that of a dutiful servant. It is such a reverence for God that the one who fears Him is gripped by a desire in the heart to please Him. Have you seen children who will do anything for the parents? That it was, everything is must be sweet-sweet one. There was one time we went to a friend's house, me and my wife, because I think just to visit a friend, there's a couple, and very funny, the oldest son. The oldest son was only about 6 or 7. So they had a maid in the bank, and this son was like, Papa, nah. Then you, nah, uncle. Then something happened. I think the maid dropped something. Auntie, are you okay? So 7 years old, very, very cute boy, you know. And so sweet in terms of always wanting to please. And she's always smiling. And such a wonderful... It's a kind of loving child that not everyone desires, I believe. But you know, God desires that kind of child that says, you know... And of course, the parents, of course, love this child and take care of the child because they are Christians. But the man who fears God has a kind of desire to please God at all times. Because why? He recognizes God as a source of his blessing, and also there's a relationship. All right? So we're going to look at 7 characteristics. Okay, and hopefully we can put that in our life as we begin 2016, that we will have a sense of God's fear in our lives. All right? The points are more or less there, because I didn't want us to turn too often. But the first characteristic, when a man fears the Lord, it implies that he has first started to know the Lord. Okay? I just read the verses there. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When a man fears the Lord, it implies he has started to know who God really is. All right? But fools will despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of not only knowledge, but it's the beginning of wisdom. There's a difference there. Okay? When you begin to fear God, you begin to realize, hey, all sorts of information comes from Him. But then as you begin to know God further on, You realize that he's not only the source of information, he's the source of wisdom, how to use the information that will make you successful in life. Okay? In different relationships, in workplaces, there's a lot of like tension. You know why? Because you know why there's tension? Because of pride. And God says pride is the source of all strife. Okay? But if we follow God and being humble, there will be less problem in the family, in the workplace, etc., in relationships. Okay? But we need to know God first. In Proverbs 15:33, the fear of God is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Psalm 111 verse 10, a good understanding have all they that do his commandments, his praise endureth forever. Now what does this point mean? When a man fears the Lord, it implies that he's begin to know the Lord. I'm just looking at, I just use Brother Desmond and Sister Jeff. No, Emma, do you think Emma recognizes dad and mom now? By how does he recognize her parents as a parent? So how does he recognize? Okay, by sound, okay, by their looks, okay, children's visual system only starts about one. They probably see shapes, but they can see a consistent round shape or maybe a straight shape. But they can be consistent with the voice. They can hear the voice. Okay, what else? What else does the children identify their parents by when they're very, very small, like an infant? By their smell, okay? Smell. By their smell, okay? Or by their voice, or how they even rock. Okay, or how last time my wife was slimmer than me, my children love to be on me because I'm bigger. Because I like Dunlop pillow, you know. So when they slide on me, they went, the one because of the comfort. Okay, a child identifies from the beginning by smell and all that. Okay, but you know, as they begin to grow in their relationship with their parents, they understand this as a parent. There can be two responses. One, you push the parent away. Okay, or they begin to realize, hey, actually, if I just listen, I will be blessed. And when they begin to understand who the parent is and how he behaves, you know, there's always this, don't this generation gap, you don't understand me, I don't understand you. But when you begin to understand who that person is, you relate to the person in a different way. Would you agree? When you begin to understand more and more of what the kind of person he is, the character he is, we will begin to then say, hey, actually, he's not all that bad. It dawned on you that, hey, maybe I should take a bit more effort to know this person and I could have a good relationship with him. When you begin to fear God, it generally shows that you begin to understand more and more who God really is. And it will then tell in your life, because it will show a difference between a person who fears God, because a person who fears God knows God. But when a person doesn't fear God, he doesn't know who God is. Okay, let me give you a verse. Matthew chapter 10. Okay, let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Any questions? Did you understand the principle? When a person starts to fear God, it implies that he's beginning to understand who God is and what his commandments mean to God. And how much I want to please him, therefore I'll keep his commandments. Okay? So the Bible says in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 28. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Let's read it together. Okay? Ready? One, two, go. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both body, soul and body in hell. Jesus was encouraging the disciples as they go out to preach. They are going to face opposition and persecution. That goes without saying. But Jesus encouraged them. Don't be afraid of those people who cannot kill the soul. But they can kill the body, but they cannot kill the soul. But you know what? Have your fear or your reverence elevated to someone who not only can destroy the body, but can destroy the soul in hell. Does that make sense? When you understand who God is, that's why a lot of Christians, do you realize our Baptist forefathers, 50 million of them refused to compromise the truth and were slaughtered. Okay? In the just an illustration of how cruel these people were. The reformers, the Protestants, when they were caught with the Bible, they were put to the stake and they were burnt. Okay? But usually the reformers or the Protestants, today we call it the Methodists, the Presbyterians, before they actually die, you know what they do? They strangle them first. Then they burn them. But if you're a Baptist, they don't strangle you. they burn you straight. There's a difference between the Bible believers and the Protestants, okay? So, going back, these people knew that you can destroy my body, you cannot destroy my soul, and they gave their lives. And many of the Christians who gave their lives knew who God is. That's why they fear Him to the point that they would rather be burned alive than to disobey God, because they love Him so much. Have you ever seen a child who loved mommy, daddy so much that whoever will hit mommy, don't be my mommy, don't be my daddy, and he will grab that person, bite that person, and all that kind of thing, try to, you know. Why? Because he loves. He knows mommy and daddy cares for him. Does it make sense? You know why sometimes Christians don't see the importance of obedience? Because there's no fear of God in their lives. One of the evidences of a growing Christian is that you begin to understand how holy, how just, how righteous God is, but also how merciful, how compassionate, how giving He is. When you understand God for who He is, you begin to fear Him for who He is. In other words, you begin to respect God not just as a distant religion, but as a personal friend, a personal savior, someone who cares so much for you. All right? Any questions? Fear of God will come when we start knowing Him, all right? It's important to know that this fear has to be sought after. Proverbs 1:29, verse 30, number one, it has to be sought, okay? Sought for. Proverbs 9:29-30, let me just read. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. In other words, when you know God, let's say if I know Brother Henry, I can choose to be his good friend, or I can choose to ignore him. Yes? You go to school, you can say, this person got red eyes, I don't like him, or something like that. You can choose. But this person can be as nice as possible to you, you can still reject him as a friend. Is that not possible? Now, Jesus died for us. He showed his love on the cross, and yet people today are still rejecting him. Why? It has to be sought after, the fear of God. Okay? That's what the Bible says. They did not choose. We need to choose to fear God. Okay? This fear also has to be learned. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10. Deuteronomy 4, verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10. This fear has to be sought for, and it also has to be learned. Deuteronomy 4, verse 10. Okay, Deuteronomy 4, verse 10. Let's read together. Ready? One, two, go. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Okay? The Bible says God actually told Moses, get all the people together in Mount Horeb. What's another name for Mount Horeb? Mount? What's another name for Mount Horeb? Mount Sinai. It's the same name. Okay? The mountain that God gave the commandments. God told Moses, get all the people down. I will make them. Make them doesn't mean he tied them up, whip them, and make them to listen, all right? Make them means he will actually persuade them. He will help them, just like a teacher helps a student to understand. I will make them understand, okay? So God wants to make these people understand his word so that they will do what? That they may learn to fear God. Where is the starting point of learning to fear God? Understanding God's word. When you understand God's word, you begin to understand who God is. And when you understand who God is, that's where the fear comes. You begin to realize, hey, this person is not just your ordinary Joe in the street. This person can call fire down from heaven. He can cast me into hell. He's the most loving God that this world has ever seen. He's the creator. The more we read, the more we fear him. In fact, as you read the Bible, you should grow in your fear of God, in the reverential love for God. Okay? All right? So it has to be learned. In Psalm 34, verse 11, let me just read. Come ye children, hearken unto me. And the psalmist says, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. I will teach you the fear of God. Okay, it has to be learned. And then there has to be a desire for the fear. There must be a heart, the heart that God says, or that you say, God, I want to fear you. Nehemiah 1, verse 11, let me just read there. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants, who desire to fear thy name. Nehemiah is praying, God, please hear me, because my heart is to reverentially respect you for who you are. And I want you, Lord, to hear me as I put my heart. I know you are my source of strength. I know you are my source of wisdom. I fear your name. Lord, hear my prayer. There must be a desire for it. Okay? One more point, it requires obedience. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 says, that you should all know this. What does it say? Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Okay? It requires obedience. The fear will be generated when we are obedient to the Lord. Okay? Of course, in Nehemiah 7, verse 2, this fear, some people may fear God more than others. In Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 2, Nehemiah says, that I gave my brother Hanani and Hananiah, the ruler of the palace, charge over Jerusalem, for he was a faithful man and feared God above many. You know, in the choice of leaders in our church, we need to also look at men who fear God. Men who are not frivolous, men who, or even sisters or ladies who serve God, who are not frivolous in the way they live, they have a fear of God in their lives, okay? And that was why Nehemiah chose his brother Hanani and Hananiah, because he was a faithful man and he feared God above many. All right, any questions? So the first mark of a God-fearing man is that you can know that this person actually knows who God is, okay, personally. All right, point number two, when a man fears the Lord, he will turn from sin and live a holy life. Okay, he will turn from sin and live a holy life. Proverbs 3, verse 7, let's read together. 1, 2, go. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. When you fear God, you're going to turn from sin. No one can say he's a Christian and fears God and do not give up sin. That's what the Bible says. Fear the Lord and depart. Depart means to take your leave and walk away from evil and sin. Proverbs 16, verse 6, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. This is an important passage for all child training, all right? For any type of discipline, okay? This is how it works. God says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Iniquity means sin. The word iniquity means intentional sin. Intentional sin. Okay? So if someone is intentional in sin, number one, deal with the truth. Okay? You have stolen. That's the truth. You have stolen $10. Mercy means, okay, I'm going to waive it. But then, the fear of the Lord comes in to help this person to stop sinning. How? You begin to teach him the Bible. By fear of the Lord, the person needs to know the word, leading him to an understanding of God's fear, because you can tell him, you can discipline him, you can take away his things, you can whip him, you can even burn his hands and all that. You know what? You can cut away a thief's hand, prevent him from stealing, he can still do this. Right? We can physically cut off the hand, but you know what? You need to do the heart. Because the reason why people steal is because of covetousness. That's why God says, by truth, deal with the sin as it is, use mercy, but then the way to stop the person from continuing in sin, deal with sin, apply mercy, and teach the right thing so that the sin can be pulled out of the heart. And then you will have peace the rest of your life. And the person will not steal anymore or will not tell lies anymore. When he realizes he's wrong, you apply love and then teach him the right thing. And then he begins to put God. The only way children will change their ways is not when parents... Yeah, our responsibility is give discipline as much as we can based on God's word. Give love as much as we can based on God's word and teach them the narrow way as much. But it must come to a time they have to have that fear of God in their own hearts. And that's why parents, we need to keep on praying and keep on shedding tears of, Lord, please help my children to understand God's fear in their lives. Okay? And then iniquity will forever be chased away from this person's life, okay? And by the fear of God, men actually walk away from sin. Say, I don't want to do that anymore. I know the truth. God applied love to me. No way am I going back there. Now I understand what it means to fear God. Does that make sense? Okay? That's why it's so important for the younger generation as you grow up. Those people from sec 1 and onwards, that's where this class starts. We need to start developing a fear of God. You know, when you start to develop a fear of God, your parents can trust you with anything. Because if you know that it's not just your parents going to nail you, God is, because God goes everywhere. He knows what you're doing. And when you say, God, I'm not going to sin against you, That's when the parents can have peace, when the fear of God is deeply seated in their lives. Okay, any questions? If a man truly fears God, he will turn from sin. No Christian who loves God and fears God will stay in sin. You cannot. You just cannot. You have to get out of it. All right? Yeah, so any questions? Okay, let's see. Okay, the fear of God can actually affect the whole life. Now, we're just thinking through this. The fear of God affects your whole life. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 to 2, let's turn there. Okay, it's over there. I think it's over there, right? Okay, let's read together. 1 Peter 3, verse 1 and 2. Likewise, ye wives. One, two, go. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Peter was talking to a group of ladies whose husbands are not Christians. Okay, the ladies' husbands are not Christian. And he's admonishing them. The word likewise is very interesting. If you read the passage before, in 1 Peter chapter 2, it actually refers to Peter telling them that how Jesus suffered without complaining. Jesus suffered without complaining. And then he went on to 1 Peter 3 verse 1 and said, in the same way that Jesus suffered without complaining, likewise, in the same way ye wives, being subjected to your husband. Say, what? You know, what kind of husband he is, you know? You know, and you begin to argue and question, what? You know, to have a biblical mind frame for a believing wife, your non-believing husband, you know, the Bible actually says that likewise, why be in subjection to your own husbands, that if they don't obey God's word, they may, without the Bible, be warned by the conversation. The word conversation is an old English word for your lifestyle. Because it's by your words that people can know what kind of person you are. Would you agree with me? If you see this, wow, very pretty girl. And the first few sentences come out, it's all expletives. You know, it's all the bad words and all that. Okay, I know what kind of person she is now. You know, yeah, she's all nice on the outside, but not so nice on the inside. Our conversation reveals what kind of person we are. And here Peter is saying, subject yourselves to your husband, that if any don't want to obey God's word, but because of our lifestyle, the conversations of the wives, they might be won. Why? Because they can see your chaste. The word chaste means what? Pure. Pure lifestyle, which is embedded together with what? Fear of God. Fear of God. Do you know there are at least two great men of God that I know today that were saved by their wives? You know who are they? The one, John Bunyan. John Bunyan is a very famous London preacher in the 1600s. Yeah, 1600s. When he married his wife, he wasn't saved. But he said in his testimony, because of his wife's submission to God, God changed him. Number one. Number two, you know who's the other person? George Mueller. You know George Mueller? His wife wasn't saved as well. But when he realized that, hey, the wife's conversation, his life was revolutionized. He accepted Christ and he became a man of God. Ladies, you can be a strong influence in the life of your husbands or in the life of anyone. Okay? Right? So, coupled with fear. The fear of God will actually affect the whole life to the point, interestingly, if you read the rest of the passage, it includes the way we dress. Because if you read the rest, it talks about dressing. Okay? It talks about how he spends your money, how your time, what he hears, where he goes, the pleasures he seeks in the books he reads, in the internet. If you genuinely fear God, it actually revolutionizes your whole life. A fear of God that says only, I'm going to fear God when I come to church, or you know, certain activities, that's not a fear of God. It's only selective. Which means that it's not a pervading principle in the person's life. Does that make sense? If a person, your children, okay, now I study law 3 hours, or Papa asked me to study. He is studying, but he may not want to be a student. He studies because he has to. But when the fear of God controls a person's life, what he sees, what he, who he talks to, what kind of friends he have, what kind of internet programs he have, etc., the way he spends his time, all will reflect his fear of God. In other words, before he buy an expensive thing, he say, God, does this please you? Should I buy this new PSP? which are going to take away 18 hours of my daytime, and I'll study 30 minutes, you know. But God, don't worry, I'm very smart, so I can pass my exam one. Okay, there are some people like that, they study very little, they pass. Not fair, right? But those are the rare exceptions. But God, should I buy this whatever phone, Lord, that cost me $6,000 and it will rip a hole in my dad's pocket. But, you know, but God, you know, I really fear you, you know. But you're going to ask God, should I buy this phone? Or would Xiaomi do? Or something. You know Xiaomi? Yeah. Whatever, you know. God, we will actually put all, even the things we eat, even the food. You know what God says? Whatsoever you eat or drink, therefore whatever you eat or drink. You know why eat or drink? Eating and drinking is the most basic things you do in life. God says even in the most basic things, if you fear God, you want to do it to His glory too. Does that make sense? Okay? So, when we fear God, it should affect our whole life. Okay? It will affect our whole life. It will also affect, the fear of God even will affect the type of friends he or she has. Let's look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. This is when I studied this, the first time I actually saw this, is interesting. The fear of God will also affect the type of friends you hang out with. If the type of friends you hang out with is the type of fear you have for God. Did you know that? If you're going to hang out with... let me read the verse first. Malachi chapter 3, verse 16. The verse it says, let's read together. Ready? One, two, go. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord, that thought upon his name. In the midst of a backsliding nation, God saw there were a group of people who spoke about his name. And you know what God did? Hey, in the midst of all this backsliding Israel, huh, there's this group of people that really feared my name. And they came together, they talk about my name, they love my name. You know what God did? Let me take out a book. Let me write down names. They call it the Book of Remembrance. You know what it means? In other words, God remembered there was this group of people who feared me, that despite how the world lives, he will still stay with those people who fear God. In fact, in the book of Psalms 119, verse 63, I believe, the Bible says, I am a companion of them that fear God. Interesting. I'm a companion. Your friends reflect the type of companions, or rather reflect the type of fear of God in your lives. I say again, according to the scriptures, your type of friends, especially for the teenagers, please take note of this. A genuine love of God, a fear for God, will actually affect even the type of friends you hang out with. Okay? A person who hangs out with godly people have a fear of God in their lives. But a person who hangs out with any type of character on the street, who does things that you know obviously is wrong. I think one of my children was playing soccer near my place, and very sad, there was two boys, teenagers, one of them same age as Jeremy, who was trying to get another boy to smoke. What a sad thing. You know, they are darkness, remember? Walk in darkness, the youth, walk in the light, youth. Before we were darkness, we're not only in darkness, we are darkness now, we're causing other people to do the wrong thing. You know, but this two young person was trying to get this person to sin. Well, this person had some learning problems, so he likes to hang out with them. Because he don't understand that they are taking advantage of him. So it's very sad. You know, Christian teens, as you grow up, be careful what kind of friends you hang out with. Because it reflects the type of fear of God in your lives. Okay, any questions? Okay, moving on. Point number 3. When a man fears the Lord, he is filled with deep assurance. Let me move a bit faster, okay? What do you mean? He's filled with deep assurance. In the fear of God is strong confidence. And his children shall have a place of refuge. Fathers, take note of this. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. As parents, as we fear God, God gives us confidence in the things we do. And our children will have a place of refuge. You know why? As fathers, head of the house, we lead the children in the fear of God. Our children will know they are protected. Of course, children are also individually responsible for their own Christian lives. All right? Please understand this, From teenage onwards, you can be responsible for your Christian life before God. maybe in a smaller way, by Bible reading, praying. But you know what? As your parents live for God, your children will actually have a place of safety. Okay? Okay, that's what the Bible says. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 12 and 13. Let me just read it. This is a wonderful verse. It says this: though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, Solomon says, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God. Sometimes as Christians, we look at non-believers and say, how come this person is so prosperous? You know, how come they are living it up and having a good time? Solomon says, though this evil man do evil 100 times, Solomon says, yet I know it will be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. The fear of God gives Christians strong assurance. God will never, never walk away from someone who fears him. And when you're in your deepest trouble, God will be your anchor. And our God is not just our anchor. He does something for us. Okay? So fear God. Okay? One reason for the confidence that is gained by fearing the Lord is that one that fears him lives closely to him. He understands who God is. He understands God's personality. Alright? This makes him sure, number one, of God's protection. In Psalm 34, verse 9 and 10, oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. No want means no lack. You won't lack anything if you fear God. Did you know that? Did you know that? As a Christian, if you really fear God and love him, so what if the HDB send you a red letter? God will provide that need. God will provide that need. Okay? God has promised to supply all our needs when we fear him. Okay? His provision. We can be sure of his protection. You can be sure of his provision. In Psalm 34, verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not lack or want any good thing. Right? When a man fears God, you can be assured of God's. You can be filled with deep assurance. Alright? Point number four, very quickly, when we fear the Lord, we are led into a full assurance of faith. God actually gives us more faith in him. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. This heart sprinkled and bodies washed is nothing to do with baptism. It's just a symbolic way of saying our hearts have been washed away from an evil conscience. You cannot wash a heart, or you can take out and then boom, 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 and then you'll wash the heart. Actually, you can't. All right? Heart means the innermost being of your heart, where God uses his blood, or Christ's blood, to wash away from an evil conscience. Okay, so we can be led in full assurance of faith. When you fear God, there's nothing to fear. We know that our sins are forgiven. 1 John 2, verse 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Okay, we also know the truth. We can understand the truth of Romans 8, 28. The Bible says that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Yesterday, Brother Jacob was teaching this, right? Do you realize that this verse is applicable for those people who fear him and put God first? And is willing to undergo the trials that God put in their lives. When a Christian, do you realize a Christian, God will still work out something good for them, but not based on this verse. Because God always had good intentions for his children, but when the children walk away from God, it's very hard for God to work out things. But yet, in his economy, God's workings, mysterious workings, God can still pull you back. But you know what? We will definitely suffer some consequences. No sin is without consequences. There can be forgiveness, and there will be forgiveness when we confess. And no, God will wrap us around again. He will love us again. But you know what? Sometimes we may have to face the lingering effects of the consequences. But as we fear God, you know the blessing is this? As we fear God, he will begin to minimize the consequences and help us to move on. Alright? That's important for us to know. Okay, when we fear God, God can lead us to trust him and know that God can work out all things for good. Okay? Okay. Any questions? I think it's point number what now? Point number five, I think. Okay, when a man, I think there are 8 points. No, okay, never mind. When a man fears the Lord, he experiences true joy and satisfaction. He experiences true joy and satisfaction. In Proverbs 22, verse 4, It's written that by humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Okay? Riches and honor and life. In Solomon's situation, it was literally riches. Okay, King Solomon is the most, he's the wisest man in history, he's the richest man in history as well. Okay? His temple costing billions of dollars in Singapore terms. Okay? God can bless us when we fear the Lord. We can experience true joy and satisfaction. Proverbs 28 verse 14, happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Right, the point I have here, even though a man is poor in worldly sense, if he fears the Lord, he is wonderfully rich and truly satisfied. The Bible says, Proverbs 15:16, better is little with the fear of the Lord. It's better for us to eat at a dinner table. Yesterday we had a good time, okay? But you know, it's better to have a dinner table with only cabbage, chai sim, tauge. You know, we may eat the small things in life. Not small things, those are vegetables. In the past, meat, I understand in the Philippines, meat in some places is actually it's usually the rich. Because when I was looking at this documentary, the province, you know, the poor people in the provinces usually, in Bohol, they eat vegetables or something. And they were poor, seldom do they have meat. Okay, meat is actually... So the illustration in the past is the same. Meat, last time in Singapore also, meat is like Chinese New Year, you know. Wow, it's zi, big thing, you know. During Chinese New Year, for us, and every day also we can have meat. But you know, in those days, God actually says the better is little. In fact, a dinner of herbs. The idea is if you have tauge and chai sim, it's better when there's a fear of God among the people that we can enjoy it and to have a good conversation, rather than have a chicken la, duck la, turkey la, pig la, dinosaur meat or something, and everyone is like, hurry up, okay, pass the letter. When you start arguing, give me that one. And it's like, what's the point of having a nice meal? Everyone is shouting at one another, you know. You know what? It's better to have a simple meal with fear of God, and everyone loves one another, than to fight at the table. Right? That's what God says, okay? It's a man who fears God can experience true joy, okay? Okay, point number five. When a man fears the Lord, he will reap the benefits of a disciplined life. In Proverbs 10, verse 27, let me just read that. Proverbs 10, 27. I hope I'm not confusing. Okay, let me just read. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Okay, how does that work? If you smoke, if you do drugs, you don't fear God. And what happens? Your life can be shortened as a result. Okay, there's a practical way of doing that. Okay, but the fear of God will prolong your days. The Bible says, Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. When a man fears God, he will reap the benefits of a disciplined life. If you are disciplined, this author actually mentioned, if you are disciplined, we get the right amount of rest, food, sleep, exercise, serving others, and above all, putting God in the rightful place, we'll be freed from all anxiety. Did you know that? When you put God first, you are not anxious because your faith is in God. Okay? The next point, when a man fears the Lord, he will serve him wholeheartedly. He will serve him wholeheartedly. Now just read Psalm 2 verse 11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Serve God with fear. When you truly fear God, no service is too big for you. You will want to serve God. Okay? In 2 Chronicles 19 verse 9, let me just read that. And he charged them saying, thus shall we do in the fear of God, faithfully and with a perfect heart. Okay? They were building as they were serving God. Say, this is how you need to do it. Remember in the Old Testament, I'll talk about it in the service afterwards. Our service must always be with the heart. Okay? So when we serve God with a fear of God, that's what's expected. When man fears God, he will faithfully serve God wholeheartedly. Okay? And point number seven, when a man fears God, he will be finally like the Lord Jesus himself. Okay? He'll be like the Lord Jesus himself. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 to 9. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 to 9. I'll just read, who in the days of his flesh, referring to Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, when Jesus was alive, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that is able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. In other words, he had a fear of God. That though he were the Son of God, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and be perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. There's a lot of words. What does it mean? When Jesus was on planet Earth, he offered prayers. And he was heard by God because God realized, this, my son, fears me. Okay? And so, although he was the Son of God, who is God himself, he had to learn in his flesh obedience. All right? We sometimes, how come, must Jesus learn obedience according to the Bible? Yes. Okay? Because he wanted to teach us what it means to be obedient. Okay? And finally, while he had been made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that will obey God. When we read about Jesus who lived in the fear of God, when he offered himself, it was because it was God's will. He feared God, he obeyed God, and he became the author of eternal salvation for us. Okay? And so if we would really be like him, we would seek to live and work and do everything in the fear of God all the day long. Basically, if you don't remember anything, just remember this. The first thing about having a fear of God in our lives, you need to know who God is. You need to work at reading the Bible. And I'll just share with you a testimony that I have when I was 17 years old. I just told God one thing. God, I want to know your mind. I want to know your mind. I want to know who you are. I want to know the counsel of God. Lord, I want to understand your counsel. Didn't make me more spiritual immediately. When over the years, God has been answering that prayer, understanding who God is. That in a situation, you said, no, God won't do that. Can you make an assessment of a situation? If your friend was there, say, if my friend was here, he wouldn't do that. Why? Because you know that person. You know his character. You know, over the years, we're still growing to know God. I want to encourage us. Know God. When you know God, that's when fear starts. Begin to respect him for who he is. Okay? There was one man one time, just finished the illustration, very interesting, just came to mind. There was this corporal who was telling his soldier, you better dig the trenches properly. And the soldiers were obviously tired and was very slow. And suddenly this man came and started to help these people to do the whole thing. After a while, he finished the whole thing. And this man looked at this corporal and said, next time you need some work done, just call me. Okay? This guy is George Washington, the general. It was in the story, it's a real, the corporal was shouting, barking orders, not doing anything, but this man, unknown, came, helped, and actually said, next time you need some help, just call me. He was George Washington. You know, sometimes we fail to, we want to realize that we need to understand who God is. And when George Washington came, God improved. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ came, he came with one thing in his heart, pure love for us. And we need to respond in love. And the more we know God's love, you know, you realize one thing, the more we realize who God is, the more we will fear him, and our life will change. The sins in your life will melt away. You do say, I cannot allow that. It's just like asking President Tony Tan to come into your... How many of you, let's say, okay, this is my final one. If President Tony Tan sends a letter to your family today, I'm going to live with you for 1 week. How long, and he says, I'm going to come tomorrow. How many of you will write to him and say, sir, can you please come 2 weeks later? Because my house is a mess. I'll need to scramble. And you may take immediate leave. Boss, sorry, person coming, I need to take leave. Why? You pack up my house. Can Jesus walk into your house and everything is okay? That's physical. Can Jesus walk into your life? And everything is okay. And when we have a fear of God, when we understand, when we begin to say, no, I cannot have that in my life. No, I cannot have that in my life. And when God's fear governs us, all our decisions will be towards him. All right? Any questions? Okay, I want to encourage those who may not have experienced the joy of salvation to actually actively seek that. And you will find that. I'll just say this. In Psalm 34, verse 18, I believe, oh, taste and see, the Lord is good. And God has never forsaken anyone who name him as your Savior. All right, that's a word of prayer. And after we take a break before the service, let's pray. Lord, I know people have been attentive. I pray to begin this year, Lord, we will truly have the fear of God in our lives. Oh, Heavenly Father, we know in the Bible you so long for your children to have a reverential fear and love of you, who you are. And Lord, even as we understand more and more of your character, help us, Lord, to live in line with that character of holiness and purity. The hearts and minds and ambitions, Lord, will all be subjected to the scrutiny of the cross. And that, Father, how you work in our hearts, Lord, will be completely because of how much you love us. And Father, I pray for Christians who need to understand that a bit more. And for all of us, I ask you, Lord, in your Holy Spirit, to teach us what it means to have a fear of God in our lives. Lord, help us to love you with all our hearts because you first loved us and gave your Son to be the payment for our sins. And we are so grateful for that. I pray, God, that the fear of God will be embedded in our hearts. Be with us in the service. I pray you bless the visitors that are here. I pray that as church members, Lord, we will lift up your name and showing of the love of Christ in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.